Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
I think we're good. What's going on, everybody? We are live with Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 98. Oh, so close to number 100. Kyle Bennett, Matt Castorina here from Underground Studios. Got a lot to talk about tonight, ladies and gents. A lot of news coming out within the last hour regarding the Sixers and Phillies. But before we get into that, got to give a shout out to our sponsors, Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. What's going on, Matt?
Not very much at all, if I'm being honest.
There's a lot going on with Philadelphia sports, though. First of all, this is our first show since the Eagles lost in the playoffs, so hats off to the 2018 Eagles. They weren't even supposed to be in that game, got out to an early lead, couldn't get the job done, but yeah. They gave us one hell of a season, so hats off to the Eagles. I'm sure we'll be breaking down more and more as we kind of digest everything that's happened. But right now, we're kind of just enjoying it. Don't blame Alshon. Shout out to all the Sixers fans last night going up to Alshon and kind of getting pictures with him and, you know, giving him a standing ovation as they showed him on the Jumbotron. But thank you to the 2018 Eagles for one hell of a ride.
It's crazy because a month and a half ago, we weren't even sure this team was going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They had to win. They had to win every game after the Dallas game, pretty much, to even have a shot
and get some help and
So
have a double doink go their way.
It did feel like, I'm not going to lie, when they were driving right before the interception, like I'm sure everyone felt the same. But like, we're scoring here.
Yeah, I felt really, the same way. Like, I was like, it's happening,
and it felt just so written to because they kicked the field goal, miss it, we get it back on the 50.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like here goes, like we're gonna drive down. They're gonna have like 30 seconds to try and do something. Man, just
it was so close.
Yeah, a little bit of bad management, I think, by you know, running the play so quick, close to the 2 minute warning. Like, again, like, I think there's two scenarios, too. You don't want to give them too much time, and it's
right.
Drew Brees on the other side of the field. Like, you don't really want to be giving him more than you have to. Because, I mean, at that point, we're already, like, closing in on inside the 20 if he makes that catch. So, but, yeah, like you said, I mean, to be in that position, especially considering how the game went, where we lost, I don't know, what, six starters.
Yeah, Brandon Brooks tears his Achilles.
Like,
Fletcher Cox was in and out of the game, and at media day for locker cleanouts, he was in a walking boot. Same with Nigel Bradham.
Yeah, I mean,
Russell Douglas left the game for a hot minute. Like, injuries just kept continuing to pile up, and it was kind of like just a microcosm of what this season was all about.
It was like every other drive the Saints had, we lost another defensive player. Like, it was like, they used to have this way of settling overtime sometimes where they called it, like, last man, where every, like, 5 minutes they'd blow a whistle.
Right.
And someone would have to leave the field from each team until there was, like, three people left. That's what it felt like, except we were calling people from the stands to come in and fill in our secondary and on our line. So that was rough. But, yeah, I mean, look, Saints, there's no, like, I don't think there's any shame in losing the Saints, you know, away to them in the playoffs, you know, how they've been this season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can really get too upset about that. Obviously, the ending wasn't great, but to have even been in that situation, considering the year in general that this team had with the injuries yet again, I think it's still a positive note, you know.
This team's not going anywhere, and we talked about that on the postgame show. Connor and myself, you know, this team's set up to win for the next, like, 5 to 6 years at least.
Yeah, it'd be a different story if this was a team sort of on, like, its last gasp.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you know, had the Patriots gone out against the Chargers, there would have been, you know, like, a lot of
Gronk's
questions.
Done. Brady's done.
Yeah, like all that. no one's going to say that about the Eagles right now, just because of, like you said, the way the roster is constructed, the way a lot of our, you know, best players are. They're either young, still entering their prime, or currently in their prime. No one's really, you know, you would say, I think he's kind of over the hill right now, you know, so that's...
At least for anyone that you would think would be back next year.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
Most of those over-the-hill guys were one-year deals anyway, and,
yeah,
you know, thanks for coming. We'll see you next time. And you know, there's a lot that Howie Roseman put out there in his post-season press conference, too. Sounds like the Eagles are ready to take a defensive end or a defensive tackle in the first round. Howie put the label that this defensive end tackle class is historic. So it kind of sounds like that's what they want to do in the first round.
Well, I mean, that's the one area besides the secondary that you'd say... I think the secondary probably needs to be addressed the most, but if you can get a...
Bookend for Derek Barnett if Brandon Graham leaves.
Exactly. That would be... And I think defensive line, too, is where you do have maybe some aging players. You know, if you had, like, to address an area of concern for the next, like, 4 or 5 years, that might be it. So that could be something interesting.
He also said that the running back position needs to be upgraded.
Yes.
Thank you for...
I think those are the three areas.
That.
Secondary, I'd say in this order, probably running back over secondary...
Yeah.
Running back, secondary, and then a defensive lineman would probably be the order of importance. That won't necessarily be how we address those issues. We won't, you know.
Right.
But I think if they were mapping out what needs to be addressed the most, those are probably the areas.
And he also made it clear that Carson Wentz is the starter, but they're keeping a door open on, you know, a possible attempt to keep Nick Foles, which...
Why would you not?
Why would you not? But I also just don't see that being feasible.
He has Jacksonville written all over it.
Especially after today with John DeFilippo going to be the OC in Jacksonville. It's just too much of a... It's too good not to happen, and we'll see what happens with that within the next couple
not
weeks.
Not the best Nick Foles game, if we're being honest.
No, it wasn't. And if you're blaming the defense... Sorry, you're wrong.
You can't get shut out for three quarters, honestly. No. You know, it's crazy, though, man, because not to get too much into, like, hindsight and what-ifs, but it really felt like that first quarter, like, holy shit, we're going to blow them out, aren't we? Like,
as soon as Graham on the ball got that interception, who, by the way, needs to be back next year.
He had a great game.
He's phenomenal.
And it's upsetting because there was a lot of guys that I thought had really great games that you just won't remember and talk about as much simply because you lost and the season ends up, you know, not going anywhere. But yeah, he had a stellar performance. It really felt like that first quarter.
That was
like,
the Patrick Robinson interception against the Vikings. It was like that momentum swing
right
away.
We had almost, but what was weird, now that you mentioned that, though, was the Saints had, they had that interception near the end of the, was that second quarter.
Yeah.
That was the play that I think... I don't want to say, like, that was the sole turning point, because I don't really believe that that happens all the time in the NFL, but that was definitely a play where you felt like you could hear it. You could just feel like now, like, the Saints had some wind in their sails. And
they needed to pull off so many things just to win, too. Like, they needed that fake punt.
Yeah, I mean,
that was the turning point.
They were bringing out, you know, gadgets and trick plays in
the
second
quarter.
Taysom
Hill was on the field far more than I thought he would have ever been.
Yeah, which I think is a credit to... the Eagles. I mean, look, I think if you had honestly said we're going to hold the Saints to 20, if you had said that to us last Saturday, you would have been like, I think we win then.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
definitely.
I don't think it's out of the realm. But look, I mean, you know, like I said, there's no shame in losing this Saints team. Probably be one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Although there's a lot of really great teams left, let's be honest. Now you just move on to the offseason. I think a lot of fans will be like upset the way it ended, but I think you've seen the reaction is generally, like we just said, pretty positive. No one's really like throwing their toys out of the crib or anything. It's all just like, all right, well, you know, move on. And I think that's A, because of the Super Bowl last year.
Everyone's still like, we won. Like it kind of eases that pain.
Yeah. It's not like if we had lost last year and, you know, it went out like this, you can bet there would have been a lot of issues.
Right.
But I think also, too, like we just mentioned with the way the roster is, I think there's still a lot of optimism. The questions aren't questions of how is this team going to get back to this point? Okay, who stays? You know? And I think that's the difference between being negative and positive about the future of this team. And I think it's mostly positive, if we're being honest.
There's a lot to look forward to. And if you missed our Twitter announcement yesterday, We're bringing an NFL draft podcast to the network. The Draft Board podcast is coming. As soon as the Super Bowl ends is probably when we'll start kicking that off. It's going to be myself, Mikey Ostrowski, Connor Miles, three current members of the Underground Sports Philadelphia Network, and we're bringing in two new people, Joe Ratowski from the Fifth Quarter, our sister podcast, as the radio world would call it. He's jumping on with us, and then Andrew Helfman, who is a writer for the Fifth Quarter, is also going to be joining us for our NFL draft coverage. So we've got like 2 months worth of NFL draft analysis, breakdowns, a whole bunch of stuff coming, so be ready for that. It's probably a week or two after the Super Bowl is done is when the first episode will go up, but really looking forward to that. But the Sixers.
Well, did we want to do like our championship predictions? Because I've been eagerly anticipating getting to watch football without having a real vested interest.
You want to do that today, or do we want to do it Saturday?
Let's do that Saturday, actually, now that I think about it. Just forget I said anything. Cut that out.
The Sixers signed people, though. Yeah. Signed someone, and they put up historic points last
night. Listen, I'm just saying, it's not a coincidence on the day that we signed a tangible bench piece, we just happened to have a great performance. I don't know.
Sixers win last night, put up 149 against...
What, 83 in the first half?
Yeah.
Jesus,
which is fourth most in franchise history, the most as the team being called the Sixers. The other times it was the Syracuse Nationals.
Jesus.
Was the other times, which was franchise high is 86. But the first time being called the Sixers, they put up 83 in a first quarter, put up 149 total. Jonah Bolden turned into Kyle Korver.
Dude, okay. Jonah Bolden had a crazy sequence in the first quarter. He nails, I think it was his first shot of the game, nails a three. Other end of the court in like 20 seconds. I forget who it was, but he just absolutely stuffs them. And they're on a transition again. Like, he has this weird ability of, like, he's just like, you talk about like energy guys in the NBA. He has that. He has that ability of making plays, like I just said, where he makes something big happen offensively, then in transition on defense, or when he gets set on defense of making plays on both ends. He has definitely like a spark to him, which is great. I think it's hard to pick out just one great performance from last night. I think everyone played well. Wilson Chandler, like,
ironic enough,
just keep him in the corner. Like, that's my takeaway from the last night. Is just keep Wilson Chandler in the corner on offense and just have him chuck, because it worked. I think the bigger story on the night, though, I know obviously we want to talk about the Sixers, but this has to be one of the most embarrassing defeats, I think, in sports in 2019 already. Like, you're telling me that Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, guys that Jimmy Butler lambasted and called soft and said that they weren't good enough and beat with third stringers, if you can't get up for this game in Philadelphia to shut Jimmy Butler up, to go one-on-one against Embiid and shut him up, because you know he loves to talk trash anytime he can, to shut the Philly fans up.
With a homie homecoming.
With Dario coming back and with Cove coming back to a lesser extent, because obviously he didn't play. If you can't get up and get yourself motivated and go out and play like one of your best games of the season on that, you are soft. And that's what they are. They're just softer than baby poop. Like, there's just... I would be so embarrassed. And I don't know what I would tell myself if I was a Timberwolves fan walking away from that game, because that's just, it's like pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose the Sixers, whatever, like you move on. Like, it was a shelling. Like, after, like, halfway through the second quarter, I was like, man, this is just embarrassing. Like, this is, and it's not like the Wolves are like a lottery team right now. This is a team that's technically supposed to still be contending. Yeah. To get blown out like that is just wholly embarrassing.
Dario had a good game for him, though. And, you know, he showed up.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is like, but it's just, it's exactly what Jimmy Butler said, that they're soft, and they have all the talent, but no work ethic, no drive, no desire, and last night showed it. I mean, that was, they just phoned it in. I don't know how you can show up to a game like that, have the chance to get one over on the guy that's been trashing you for the past 4 months, and probably even longer.
Totally.
And just get sauced by him and the rest of his team. And Jimmy Butler barely had to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even score until like late in the first. He was just hanging out.
He still had 19.
It's disgusting. I like what a
that's stupid how every team. Game for us should be going, though.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's the blueprint.
Sure, maybe not 149 points, but we should be putting up numbers like that night in and night out, especially amongst our big three combining for 70 points.
That's the blueprint right there, is Jimmy like on more efficient looks. Ben got out in transition a lot last night, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I can't stand about Ben, though, is like he has like two times a game where he just tries this flashy nonsense, yeah. And it's always a turn. He's just getting a little sick of it, man. It's January. Let's just, you know, let's not, all right? He's trying behind the backs in transition, like, while he's jumping. What are you going for, man?
Australian rules.
Yeah, well, he's, like, trying to make, like, a compilation on YouTube, I think. I think that's what he's going for, but... He's
getting those All-Star votes up.
Oh, well, I don't think he needs the help.
No, he doesn't.
Like, you're going to make it, Ben. Don't worry, all right? It's not like last year. You're not a rookie anymore, yeah. So you can make it. Even though Luka Doncic is going to make the All-Star. Stupid. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you could look at last night's game and not think that, like you said, that's how we should be every mm-hmm. night. Obviously, you know, I think in an essence, too, we were just as pumped to play them, you know, as you would theoretically yeah. think they were to play us, because Jimmy, I'm sure, was on a mission and wanted to go out there and beat them. Like I said, Joel plays better against supposed top Bigs. Centers yeah. than, like, the Al Horfords and Jonas Valanciunases of the world, you know, so...
And John Collins.
Yeah, well, John Collins is...
He's very good.
Pretty damn good. That boy, good, but even Valanciunas and Horford are. But, you know, yeah. My point is just, what's hilarious is Karl-Anthony Towns...
He's always regarded as a top five big in the league.
Not even that. There was a time period where Karl-Anthony Towns was seen as the best young talent mm-hmm. in the NBA. People won't remember this. People won't remember this, but I remember these conversations that saying that they had the brightest future.
Mm-hmm.
People would always compare us to the Sixers, I think, just because us and the Wolves. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, the Wolves kind of, like, were tanking and
there
gaining
were Twitter
assets.
Polls asking, would you trade Embiid for Karl-Anthony Towns?
Yeah, and it's not even a discussion. And, you know, another discussion that I've seen lately that I would really like to stop is, listen, I love Nikola Jokic. He's on my fantasy team. Big admirer of the guy. He is not in the same conversation mm-hmm. as Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is the best center in basketball right now, yes. and it's hardly Hands a down. Question for me, honestly. Like
he's here and everybody else is...
Jokic is a great talent offensively, mm-hmm. but is an absolute turnstile on defense. We know that. He's not nearly as good of an athlete as Joel Embiid is. Joel Embiid is, like, as rare of a player as you get.
Yep.
We've said this a few weeks ago. Joel Embiid is playing right now if Prime Shaq had a free throw mm-hmm. and could shoot threes. Like... I don't know what you
can't
ask
get any
for.
Better.
Prime Shaq is one of the best players to ever play in the NBA, let alone one of the best big men
yeah.
centers to play in. Like,
he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm just tired of the Embiid comparisons. I'm tired of him not getting the respect he yeah. deserves for MVP voting. I get Giannis is probably going to run away with it, but you tell me Joel Embiid averaging 27 and 13 on, like, 32 and 33 minutes a night. Like, come on, man.
In this format of a league where it's dominated by point guards and threes and...
Like, yeah, I don't get it. I don't know. But, yeah, don't compare Karl-Anthony Towns to Joel Embiid ever again. If anything's shown it, Joel Embiid owns him just like he exactly. owns Drummond. These soft big men just think they can get inside his head, and he just finds a way to dominate. Great performance by him.
Phenomenal. Corey Brewer. Latest yeah. sixer on a 10-day. 10-day season's here.
Yeah.
More thoughts on a headband, bushy beard, Corey Brewer.
He marks off two very important boxes for me. He has NBA talent, and he can score. And that's pretty much it.
And he obviously can meet deadlines, because he probably sent an email between 10:05 and 10:07 to Jimmy yes. Butler to wear a headband last night.
Well, he's an old head, so he can kind of do what he wants, I think.
Yeah.
I think he has his own email schedule. Jimmy Butler emails him, I think.
Yeah. And he had Embiid laughing on the sideline yesterday. That automatically grants him another 10-day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you think he gets signed for the rest of the season?
Tough to say. I don't think so, because I think he might be just a stopgap for this hard stretch that we're coming mm-hmm. into now, which is hilarious because, again, we started it out with a 40-point blowout. So it's hard to say, because I think the team is gearing up, because we haven't... You know, we haven't signed Shake to his contract. We still have that roster spot kind of just in, mm-hmm. like, escrow at the moment, where we haven't used it, and we've been able to use it for pretty much the whole season yeah. at this point, still haven't. What are we waiting for? No one knows.
And you essentially have a phantom roster spot with Markel.
Yeah, and really what we've been doing is just punting. We've mm-hmm. been punting all season. It would be weird to sign Corey Brewer now when we realistically could have. It's hard to say. It's hard to say what this front office's plan is at the moment. You might think that they might not even have a plan at the moment. But yeah, I think their eyes are more on the buyout and potential trade market. So eyes peeled. I don't know that Corey Brewer's on this team for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Before we get to the other rumor that dropped today, what were your thoughts on Dario and Cove coming back yesterday? And shout out to Mark Zumoff too for 25 years in the booth.
They had an awesome tribute to him.
Yeah, he got to ring the bell and
got to ring the bell. They had that awesome they had the him and commentating on when Ala played.
Yeah,
That was funny.
They had the Nets had the foam with his picture on it and everything.
Yeah, it was a cool little tribute for him because I think we take for granted how awesome, not even just for the Sixers, I think in general, we have great broadcasters everywhere you look. Between JJ, Mark Zumoff, Merrill Reese, am I missing anyone? Just off the top of my head.
We had HK and then,
Harry Callis, absolutely.
But on the radio,
as well.
Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson, they're phenomenal.
Everywhere you look, man.
Ricky Ricardo on the Spanish broadcast.
Yes, legend. Cannot forget, of course.
Across the board.
All those names, man. They're
even,
all, like...
Even Sixers Radio, Tom McGinnis is
is really good at calling games, actually, which is, I don't know how you can call a game on the radio.
Yeah.
So, that's so tough. So, yeah, we have great announcers. I think Zumoff is awesome. It was nice seeing him get, that tribute. Yeah,
totally deserved.
Yeah, because he's the dude, honestly. He's
one of the best in the business.
Yeah, and, so it was cool to see him get a tribute. It was cool, obviously, seeing Dario and Cove back. Love those guys. Always will. Cove, I think, a little more than Dario, for being honest. But, I didn't feel as emotionally attached to those as I thought I would. I wasn't as wish these guys were there. Because I think we're just in a better place without them, unfortunately. As much as I love them, much as I like their time here, I think this team is... If we're being honest, we've moved on. Not that we wouldn't like both of them back still, but I think we've seen what this team can be with Jimmy Butler, and once we start to add more formative pieces to this roster, and that's just unfortunately the future. And we have a higher ceiling with Jimmy and the team than with Cove and Dario. But they'll always, I think they'll always get a lot of love here.
Oh, yeah.
Even years down the line, they'll always
still
get
love it here.
Yeah, they'll always get a good. They'll probably still get standing O's whenever they come back, just because the nature of when they played here and then the process. I mean, the fans last night booed Jared Bayless. The people that go to Sixers game are pretty in the know when it comes to who deserves and who does not deserve the love.
And gave a standing O to Corey Brewer when he checked in. Which
was absolutely. Well, it was weird
phenomenal.
Because he got the standing O, and then
Jared Bayless checks in and immediately switched.
And it was weird as I was reading some Wolves fans, and they were confused. Why are they booing Jared Bayless? It's we just hate him because he got overpaid. It's nothing to do with Jared Bayless as a person or as a player. It's just because...
He was the guy that...
That's Colangelo our only way signed. Of booing Colangelo.
Yeah. He was his big signing, and then...
So, Jared Bayless, don't take it personally. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
You got paid. You're welcome. But, yeah. Brian Colangelo, if you're walking, that one's for you. This track is for you, my friend. You scumbag.
Yeah, I thought it was great. The video tributes were awesome for both guys, too. Yeah. I wish they would have done it in reverse
order. So I saw a weird tweet, too, where someone got upset. I can't even remember. It was someone who isn't really with the Sixers. They were just talking kind of nationally that there's too many tribute videos.
Oh, yeah. He's from Sports Illustrated.
You saw
that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm blanking on who it was. But I was Covington and Dario definitely deserve it. Because, again, I feel like... Not to sound oh, we're so different, but I do feel through the process we have a different attachment to guys Dario and Cove, just because these guys were here when we were winning 13 games a year, and
the
fan
season, and
and the fans that were strung along for that time period, you have nothing to do but love those guys.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all the hope that you had. So, for us, they're cult heroes. I think honestly, they'll always be, I think, people, at least for the next decade, they'll be remembered as guys that were they were there for the process, they were there for the start of whatever this ends up being.
Yeah.
So I'm personally fine with like the tribute totally video okay and all that. Because at the same time too, like who cares? Like if it means something to the organization and to the fans, then
exactly
put a tribute video for anyone. I don't care. Like what's the big deal?
He like likened Cove and Dario's tribute to the Hawks giving one to Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, which is stupid because they hated Dennis Schroeder. They wanted him out. They like traded him out of like more spite. Like you suck and we don't want to pay you anymore. Not well, sorry, but you know, we gotta make some moves. Although we still haven't, I don't know if Covington ever got his phone call. We'll see.
But yeah, I thought they did a good job. I wish they would have done the tribute videos in reverse order because apparently from people that were there last night, it went Cove, Dario, Jared Bayless. Should have gone Jared Bayless.
See, Cove, what sucks Dario. About that is you can't not give one to Bayless. Exactly. If you're giving one to Cove and Dario, but like, come on, man, read the room, you know?
Or at least do it first, so you're not ending on like
and make it like
and
really short. Like, what was the B-roll for that?
Had to have been him sitting in chairs,
like him like doing like charity work or something, like him in practice maybe
fitting his headband on. Yeah. Like,
it's like when they had to reuse the same picture of him like six different times. Like, you only have so much material to work with here, guys.
Man,
God bless him.
Yeah, but the latest trade rumor. That came out, I forget who it was. I'll try to pull that. But apparently the Sixers are interested in Knicks forward Noah Vonleh.
Yeah, count me out, please. this is like, there's certain guys in the NBA that are always like seen as project guys. And they're like, there's this player, Bruno Capocollo, used to be like the common saying around him was, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. Noah Vonleh's in that mold of, he's like a year away from being a year away. He's always been someone that, he's had like decent numbers with the Knicks. Part of that is just because he's playing regularly, not like he was with the Trailblazers where he's coming off the bench a lot more. Not someone that really like winds me up, if I'm being honest. Like, this isn't really who I would like to be having, you know. I wouldn't mind him as like a second option, like off the bench.
Did you do it for a second round pick?
For a second round pick, absolutely. I would be honest. I would do most trades, I think, right now for NBA bodies for a second round pick, because we do have a decent haul. But we do have some good second round picks. Yeah. Like, we have some from some teams that are going to be lottery picks. So you're talking high second rounders, which do have some value. So yeah, like just to give like an idea of his stats this season. He's averaging 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. Not bad, but again, he's seeing a lot of time on a pretty bad Knicks team, like playing like 26, 27 minutes a night. He's a pretty regular starter for them. So again, you could say it's a little bit of like bad team, good stats guy.
Yeah.
I think the better way to look at it is when he was bouncing around a little bit with like the Trailblazers. And, you know, you see him, you know, when he was on teams where he's not being the main guy or being a starter, his average is usually somewhere between 3 to 5 points a night. And, you know, he's going to get you some rebounds, which again, he's an active rebounder, which is something I think we could use on a second union, but
crazy that he's only 23.
Yeah. I mean, he came in the NBA very young, and that's why I think he always got that moniker of being a project is because the Hornets drafted him. He ended up getting traded. And he was always seen as this guy that he's really explosive as an athlete. And again, he is a good rebounder. He's had that since he was young. And it was always just about like refining his shooting and things like that. And it's never really happened for him. He'll probably be someone that bounces around the league for the next 5 or 6 years as, you know, it's just a good bench piece, but not someone that for me is like, yes, please. If it's a good deal for us, we'll see.
Why not?
Yeah, it's the Knicks, so who knows what kind of incompetence and gross negligence we can get away with. I'm sure there's something there, but we'll keep our eyes peeled on that one. I wouldn't mind him if it's for the right price.
Right.
Is really my ultimate.
And that came from somebody from New York Daily News, so Stephen Bodney, I believe his name was. So we'll see how that kind of transpires, but that's kind of the first name we've really seen tossed around. And then we also saw Jeremy Lin, Dwayne Dedman are on the trade block with the Hawks. They could be options. You know, ironically, I believe it was 5 years ago the other day, we signed Dwayne Dedman to a 10-day contract.
Welcome back. Dwayne Dedman skills, Despacito, 2018, 4K HD. Welcome back to the Sixers. Yeah, I mean, those are two guys as well that I think, again, don't really, you know, they don't really get me out of bed in the morning, but we need bench pieces. Yeah. That much is evident, and if it's for the right price, it's the right price.
I think Jeremy Lin could be interesting on this team.
Jeremy Lin could. My only issue with Jeremy Lin is I don't know if that's a guy we retain, because, again, you're going to have teams with some cap space this summer that are going to be looking for someone like Jeremy Lin, and my worry is that you trade for him, and again, we'd probably lose like maybe a second rounder or something like that, and ultimately not that big of a loss, but if we're trading, I would like to get someone that we have a multi-year like potential of hanging on, which is why I think Dedman might be the guy, because he's already on a lower value contract. I think we could probably get him on either the minimum or somewhere around like $3 million a year, something that's a lot more team-friendly, as opposed to Jeremy Lin, who I think will get probably just better offers from other teams. Yeah. That's the way I'm looking at it. So we'll see just how this all unfolds.
And ironically enough, the Kings are also interested in Jeremy Lin. So
the Kings are interesting because they're one of the only teams right now that can take like significant money on. I was actually just reading Wayne Ellington might be leaving the Heat, and the Kings were one of the first teams mentioned simply because they can absorb that contract. Not that Wayne Ellington's making crazy money. I think he's like $9 million a year or something like that. But
not a lot of teams can absorb that.
Exactly. And that's really valuable to have right now, is being able to take on money and, you know, you just essentially take on a bad contract for a pick. The Sixers did it for
years.
You could honestly say the Sixers sort of made it the mainstream article that it is now. I'm sure some people will get upset about that, but I don't care. We're trademarking it. So, yeah, we'll see what the Kings do. They'll be someone that's pretty much in every trade conversation. Yeah. To keep in mind over these next few weeks for the trades is keep in mind who does not get moved, because those are the guys that are going to get bought out. That's ultimately who would be the best value for us, because we're not having to give up assets. So someone like Jeremy Lin or Dwayne Dedman, who maybe don't get moved at the deadline, then potentially get bought out because the team wants to tank, doesn't want, you know, to pay anymore, right. And literally, also doesn't want a team that can, a player that's going to, you know, help them win games they want to be losing. So those are the guys to really keep an eye on that are on these lower value teams that could just get bought out after the trade deadline ends. So, yeah, keep your ears to the ground in both ways for who we might trade and who does not get moved, because that's who we'll be valuing.
Very interesting to definitely monitor who is at the bottom of the league right now, to kind of just see who could potentially get
the Hawks, the Suns. Those are the two that are like very much out of it.
Cavs.
The Cavs, Bulls. It just depends on, you know, who just decides that we are really just throwing it all out the window at this point. Really, those teams that we just named are really in there.
Probably, if there is anybody on that team.
Yeah, so those are right there the teams that will be actively tanking. Some teams will have to start making a decision as we get like towards the All-Star break. The Wizards have been hot lately. They beat us, of course. You know, they've beaten some pretty good teams. They've strangely turned it around, but even still, they're sort of just in the middle of the ocean with no life jacket at the moment. Like I said, we'll see who near the bottom is just going to decide, listen, we're cutting ties. And it also it's going to have to be someone that's on an expiring at the moment, because, you know, they're not just going to pay out whoever. So we'll see. Keep the ears to the ground on that one. It's going to get spicy. We're in a good position for buyouts, because we still have our full mid-level exception, and there's really not many other teams that can pay them and give them minutes and say, look, we're a contending team. Yeah. Like, that's the trifecta right there. Those are three things buyout candidates look for.
That's why Ilya Sova came here last year.
Exactly. They look to get paid, or minutes, or contending status, or all three, and we can offer all three. So we're in a strong position, I'd say.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see how that plays out, but the hot stove is it's heating up a little bit.
I feel like we're on the back burner now. I don't know.
I don't know if you saw this that came out today. Dan Lozano, who is
breaking the news yet again.
Manny Machado's agent put out a nice little three mini paragraph statement about.
And by nice, you mean a biting, scathing report on the journalistic integrity of baseball Twitter.
Of Bob Nightingale, who has been all over the Harper, Machado, Phillies connection.
Can I say Bob Nightingale's making it a little nervous because he's getting a little too confident about certain players going certain places.
And yeah, we'll get into his tweet from last night too. And Buster Olney as well from ESPN, who I've kind of had my thoughts and opinions on recently, but this is the statement from Dan Lozano. He said, "I've known Bob Nightingale and Buster Olney for many years and have always had a good professional relationship with both. But their recent reporting, like many other rumors in the past several months, have been inaccurate and reckless when it comes to Manny Machado. I don't know if their sources are blatantly violating the collective bargaining agreement by intentionally misleading them to try and affect negotiations through the public or are just flat out lying to them for other reasons. But the truth is that their reports on the details of the White Sox level of interest in Manny are completely wrong. I am well aware that the entire baseball universe, fans, players, teams, and media members alike are starved for information about this free agent market for all players, including Manny. But I am not going to continue to watch the press be manipulated into tampering with, not just with my client, but all of these players' livelihoods, as they have been doing this entire offseason. The absence of new information to report is no excuse to fabricate news or regurgitate falsehoods without even attempting to confirm their validity, and it is a disservice to baseball fans everywhere when the media does just that. Moving forward, I will continue to respect the CBA's prohibition on negotiations through the media and hope that others would do the same." Jesus.
That is very professional language for, hey, knock it off. You're costing me millions of dollars because, you know, all these leaks about Machado only getting offered like 175 in 7 years
from the White Sox, which
I don't know how to read that statement, if I'm being honest, because I do think there's a level to it, like we just said, where he's probably pissed that that contract got leaked, whether it's true or not, because if it's true, he probably, you know, wouldn't want other teams knowing when they're demanding, you know, $300 million plus, that the next best offer at the moment is only 175. And if it's false, you know, again, he is in the business of making Manny Machado money, and
right
by his job, he would also be making money because agents get a percentage. So yeah, I get why he would be upset that that, like, that specifically gets leaked. I think that's what would trigger this, is that contract, you know, offer that he has allegedly received from Chicago, even though we've heard that Chicago didn't submit a contract. We're here. That's the point too, is that there's been contradicting reports on just
all across the
board. Literally every way you look at a situation or a player going a certain place, there has been people reporting it either one way or the exact opposite. And yeah, I think it's an interesting statement to make, because Bob Nightingale is someone that we heavily associate with Scott Boras, obviously, who represents Bryce Harper, and people tend to take his tweeting and reporting as essentially like
Boras gospel.
Like, yeah, it's like from the Gospel of Matthew according to Jesus Christ. You know, like, it's just like you take it as the word of Scott Boras, right, and whoever he's representing, and you kind of take it with that grain of salt, but understand that there's probably some truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's and the same with Buster Olney, really. Like, he's generally seen as a very reputable. Mm-hmm. He's not quite as
in tap as he used to be,
and not even that. Like, he's not as quite as like, oh, it's happening. Like, say with Adam Schefter, right? When he reports something with the NFL, you know that it's done. Yeah, like, it's done. And if it changes from there on out, it was done when they said it, and it, maybe something changed after. But so yeah, it's and then really
Buster
interesting.
Brings up Machado and the Yankees again. To re-engage, which
I think is what, again, may have sparked that statement. But read off the tweet if you want
to. So then Bob Nightingale quote tweets Buster Olney's tweet about Machado and the $175 million and said, "The White Sox made their 7-year $175 million offer about 2 weeks ago and haven't felt the need to alter it and bid against themselves. Just like J.D. Martinez last year with the Red Sox," as Buster Olney reports or points out, "whose only other known offer was a 1-year proposal from the Diamondbacks, who he was traded to during that season before." Which Bob's tweet here makes it sound like the Phillies haven't put an offer out, which we know is false, because the Phillies have made a reported offer to Manny Machado.
In, My understanding was that the offer to Manny Machado was made, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago?
When he was in Philly.
Yeah, like, they have had all the offers on the table, and it's now just, you know, deliberation now, between him, his agent, and whoever else.
And now, allegedly, only the White Sox have made an offer.
Yeah, and it's apparently a very low offer.
Which, if you're the Phillies, go get both.
Something stinks, though, is also my point. Because someone is lying. And it,
totally.
And it's more than just someone. Multiple people are lying. I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to trust because right now.
Last night, Bob Nightingale dropped the ultimate equivalent of a Woj bomb and said, the Phillies will have Bryce Harper or Manny Machado or possibly both in uniform on opening day. Like, what?
Bob, you cannot be tweeting stuff like that, all right?
And then, of course, you know,
how would you expect me to go to bed when you're dropping bombs like that at 9 o'clock? All right? I was falling asleep at that point already because the Sixers, they were winning. I didn't care. You can't do that to me. I was up to 1 in the morning watching Manny Machado highlights. What are you doing to me?
And then you got Joe Giglio, friend of the show and supporter, just tweets at Bob.
It's a soap opera.
It's reality TV without a script.
Here's why I say put this on the back burner. The Manny Machado meeting now, we're closing in. I don't know.
Almost a month ago.
I was going to say, we're closing in, like, next week. That'll have been a month since he's been here. Truth be told, I'm getting a little sick of, like, the whole, like, charade of they'll be here. Listen, I'm ready to just, like, mute everything until I get an ESPN alert of wherever they sign. Because I feel like everything we hear is so contradictory. You have the statement by Machado's agent, you know, about other people making things up and messing with people's livelihoods and things like that, which there's some air of truth to, but it has been just a hike. And we were hoping that yesterday this would have been concluded. Now you hear reports that it might go into February.
Which was reported by Matt Gelb, Jason Stark.
Here's the problem. You got the Super Bowl, then you got the All-Star game for the NBA. And from there on out,
it's less than a month away.
Yeah, then you're talking about pitchers and catchers reporting already. Like, brother, you better sort this out because I'm not waiting until March. I tell you that much.
Because
we said this in December. It was like, well, it might drag into January. I was like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, this was at the winter meetings. Like, well, it's probably going to go into early January, like by like the new year. I was like, whatever. I can wait. I can wait. That's fine. I get it. Spend the holidays just with your family. Then, you know, settle your business and affairs in 2019. Cool. Now we're 2 weeks into 2019. It's like, all right, like I'm
almost three.
Getting a little impatient, if I'm being honest. So yeah, and my beef is too. Like, I get, and I've never been on the side of closing tens of millions of dollars in a contract.
Nor will I probably ever be.
Yeah, I can't seem to understand how a decision like this could take more than like a week.
Yeah.
You know, like
it's kind of cut and dry.
I understand there's a lot of money in your future and all that at stake, but again, it's really only like 8 to 10 years of your life. Like, this isn't like you're not deciding where you're living for the next 80 years. You are deciding where you're playing and, you know, doing your job.
Potentially living for 10 to 12 years.
Like, I know people that spent less time on their college decision, which again is only 4 years and you're paying money, but still, like, I think a month is enough time, and even longer. Like, these guys haven't been thinking about this since like August. I don't know. Like, it's just at what point are you just going over the same things with your agent and your wife and your family? Like, I feel like the decision has to have been made already, right? Like, how could it possibly? Like, I'm just genuinely confused as how it could possibly take you this long to make your mind up. The only thing in my mind is that they're trying to drive the price up, which is why you see all these tweets.
Mystery teams.
The mystery team nonsense, the contracts leaking, and who's offering what, and who's out of the race, and who's now identifying other targets. I think even the February thing could even be trying to encourage someone to up their bid, because it's like, well, we might drag this into February.
We're just going
to
sit and wait.
That, or someone's like, well, you know what? I'd honestly just, if we throw in, tack on 10, 15 million, whatever. Can we just get this done now? Because we would prefer to go into spring training having this sorted. Mm-hmm. Like one, you know, one giant thing cleared off the docket before we, you know, have to organize all that. So
And Major League Baseball's got a problem on their hand with this, too, because...
Oh, absolutely, because this is not a good look. Mm-mm. At the end of the day. Like, it's not even to the point where it's entertaining, because it's just like... Like I said, like, we don't even know who to trust. Right. We don't know who's putting it out for what reason. Everyone's very skeptical of who's reporting it and why. Like, the fact that you associate so closely a reporter with an agent, I think, is probably already an issue in of itself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you're right that baseball does have some beef with this as well.
Because not only are we waiting for these two generational talents yeah. who are still not signed, you still have a whole free agent market that's waiting to sign because of these guys.
And what's even crazier is you just mentioned these are generational talents, and you're talking about two teams being interested?
Yeah, in both of which them? Is crazy. Like, absolutely
like,
insane.
Imagine, I don't know, like, imagine... Like
LeBron last year.
Yeah, like, imagine Durant this summer. Yeah. What that'll be like.
When there's so many teams half won. The league.
I mean, imagine Durant a few years ago when he had seven or eight teams that he met with, and every other team just couldn't because of the cap space. But you don't really have that necessarily
in
baseball.
No cap.
You have the luxury issue, but still, like, I don't know how more teams are like, sure, we'll throw like 220
literally
at
any
Manny.
Team could give out a $300 million contract if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I.
It's insane.
It's crazy. Pretty much every way you look at this free agency period has been nuts. It's been just constant, like every other day, getting a new update. That's just, it's like you broke out the thesaurus and just looked up ways to change mm-hmm. your previous tweet and report about who's going where. So honestly, we'll see what happens. The stove is still hot, but I'm moving to the pot on the back burner. If
they
I'm
need
honest.
To start calling
I'm,
it like the slow cooker or something.
I'm putting this on like the broil setting and just letting it hang out because I'm waiting. I'm just waiting now. I'm just gonna, you know that saying like, the food won't cook if you're looking right at it. Like I'm not gonna give this any more of my attention directly.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you affect my life, Bob Nightingale. Right.
Because not only did Bob tweet that last night at 9, before that, he tweeted, the Phillies, according to team executives, have visions of signing Bryce Harper, Dallas Keuchel, and Craig Kimbrell. Like,
if that happens, you're talking about one of the best offseason in terms of, like, acquisitions.
Sports history.
Yeah, like, that's like...
Because not only would it be those three, you'd have Andrew McCutchen... The trade for Gene Segura, where you wiped yourself.
Which
with the
Gene
Carlos
Segura, although like we've already forgotten about somehow, it's already like that was a great trade. We acquired a great player already. Like we've already gotten what in pretty much every other offseason would be like. Hell yeah, we got Gene Segura. That's sick. Like,
and on top of that, we got two relievers and rid ourselves of the Carlos Santana contract, which we love Carlos, but it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
And then you traded away a potential bust shortstop in J.P. Crawford to get a guy that has been an all-star. Who hits 300 year in and year out, and then you went and got David Robertson, who's been the most consistent relief pitcher the last decade in baseball, and you got Andrew McCutchen. So, sure, it's not 2013 MVP McCutchen, but he's still a damn good player.
Exactly. So, but you juxtapose that with the tweet a few hours later that we could be getting both Harper and Machado
on top of those guys.
My question is like, who's telling him that and why? Who would have the motivation to tell him that and why? Is it potentially Boris trying to drive the price up of Bryce Harper, trying to, you know, maybe make the Phillies more desperate or maybe put pressure on them in some way? Who knows? Or
is
trying
it John Middleton?
Maybe.
Who's just like, hey, this is kind of almost done. Like, we're working on it. Put this out. Because, you know, the first tweet says, according to team executives, that's either Middleton, Matt Klentak, or Andy McPhail.
Well, don't forget, too, that could not necessarily mean a team executive told him. That could be what was said in the meeting to Harper. Because let's not forget, we didn't even talk about the fact that we met with Harper, and it was apparently a great time. Yeah. Everyone had a great time in Vegas. they had
hours,
a five-hour meeting.
Two slideshows.
I think they had like 80 boxes of pizza in there. It was they had a blast.
Apparently, Kapler and Harper hit it off, which
And how, why wouldn't they? Because Kapler's literally just Bryce Harper's dad.
Jack Fritz tweeted, he said, you know, they're going to run the Rocky Steps together, aren't they?
Probably. I would almost wonder if part of the pitch was saying that they've identified other... Because if I'm Bryce Harper and I'm signing this long-term deal that is essentially going to see my prime out with whatever team I'm joining, I would like to know what this team's plans are if those guys are in the Sixers... The Phillies crosshairs... Yeah, they may have mentioned that to him, and maybe that's Boris or whomever telling Bob. That's the thing, is right. Like you could split a hair like a million different ways right now with like the free agency in baseball, and it's honestly it's impossible to know who's telling the truth. And even if they are telling the truth, who gave them that information?
Right, because then
it's like a spy thriller.
Right before the Nightingale tweet about Harper, Keuchel, Kimbrel, John Heyman comes out. Where he essentially is trying to say, Mike Trout's not going to sign an extension with the Angels.
Yeah.
But he takes this route and tweets at 5:24 last night, Philly is in excellent position to sign one or the other of the free agent megastars, Harper or Machado. Cool. Signing both, though, is said to remain pretty unlikely. After that, they secure one. Phils may take closer look at Keuchel, Kimbrel, Pollock. But then follows that up like an hour later. Regardless who they sign this winter, Phillies will make a big play for Mike Trout in 2 years. You don't say. Like,
I literally everyone in the Philadelphia area could have told you that, John.
Provided he hasn't signed an extension, of course. LA Angels will try to extend Trout this winter, but while he likes it there, the whispers are that an extension now is unlikely. Literally all he had to say was, the Angels are trying to extend Mike Trout, but it doesn't seem likely right now.
Yeah.
But he threw that little hint of spice on there, and threw the Phillies in.
Yeah.
And that is your first insider connection of Trout Philadelphia. That isn't kind of just like pipe dream.
Yeah.
That's your first like literal report.
I would save that tweet because we might be looking at it in 2 years as like, oh wow.
Doing a nice little screenshot right here.
I think With the Trout stuff concerning him, it would be stupid of literally any team to not make a run at Mike Trout. I don't know what this team will be like in 2 years. You'd have to imagine we're a contender at that point. Maybe we've won a World Series. Who knows? But, you know, I don't think, like, at least one NLCS appearance is out of the question in 2 years. Yeah. Especially if we do get Harper.
One or both.
Yeah, Harper and or Machado or whoever else.
Keuchel or
exactly.
Kimbrel.
If I had to put a bet right now on who we get, it's probably Bryce and one of those pitchers. Just because I think Bryce seems to have been the target for some time now.
And
John seems
Amon.
To have consistently been the guy. Manny, we still clearly have an interest in, and
it seems to have shifted towards Harper.
Exactly, and it seems like the whole time, though, even it was seesawing consistently towards more Harper.
Yeah,
and pitching was an area that we also needed to address this summer. This winter. I'm mixing it all up today. that we needed to address this offseason. There we go. I would have to think that. With those things in mind, this team is contending this year.
Yeah.
If Mike Trout's in play, you literally load up every Brinks and Garda truck you can find in the tri-state area and just throw it at him.
Yep.
Because
bring it to his house.
Exactly. He has one. he could head over to Millville, I think there's one in Medford right now. Or
he's got one in Woodstown too, somewhere, or Pittsgrove. Fill up his pool.
Yeah.
Just fill it up. But like you said, you know, it's been leaning more towards Harper lately, and Heyman also said this morning at like 10:30 and said, Phillies could still go either way on the two free agent megastars, but here's why they may be leaning Harper now. One, the acquisition of Gene Segura at shortstop. Harper cachet success at Philadelphia as a visiting player. Three, the great meeting with Harper. Four, competition for Harper, who comes from the NL East rival Nats, who beat the Phillies out for Patrick Corbin.
So it's sort of like, not only you're adding a great talent, you're taking one away from a divisional rival.
Who took a free agent away from you.
Exactly. Getting one up on them, always so good. The Segura thing, I think, he helps anchor the infield a little bit, which we know was probably the weakest point of the Phillies team last year, especially defensively. Segura isn't, you know, perhaps like the gold glove guy that is going to, you know.
But it's far better than what was at shortstop last year.
To be fair, pretty low bar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it almost makes sense. I think Harper has always been the guy that I've envisioned that we go after more intensely. That's not to say that Machado is completely out of the question, as pretty much everyone's been saying. Man, it's just, I'm just ready for it to be over. Like, I'm ready to wake up tomorrow and just to get an update that it's, even if they don't come to the Phillies, which, you know, that would have its own consequences and burning buildings, I would just like it to be over. I would like to just stop seeing contradictory reports and just having to fuss over tweets and all this. So hopefully we get a resolution not in February.
Yeah, hopefully Winter Storm Harper isn't the only Harper storm coming through here. But the final thing on the docket is our new mini project that we've kind of been talking about behind the scenes a little bit. Our 1 year of existence is coming up in a couple weeks.
Happy birthday.
February 7th is when we kick this thing off. And in honor of that, we're going to start a mini project called the Underground Sports Philadelphia Wall of Fame. Similar to how the Phillies have their Wall of Fame at Citizens Bank Park, we're going to be inducting Philadelphia sports icons, people that performed well each year, you know, and kind of that had a moment or something like that. And this year, to kind of kick things off, to get the Wall of Fame up and running, we're going to induct 5 Philadelphia sports moments, icons, athletes, mascots, you name it. Why this is important to listeners, we're going to have Twitter polls and potentially Facebook polls as well. That will count towards the vote. It won't be the full, you know, vote in, but your vote will help decide who we vote in. We're going to create some sort of ballot within the next week, and then we will announce the inductees on our show February 7th to kind of celebrate our 1 year. So we got about 3 weeks to put all the things together, but very excited to have this. And we're going to keep like a document of who's in and, you know, who's up for eligibility and that kind of stuff. I think it'll be a fun little interactive project with our listeners moving forward, and looking forward to getting that kicked off. And something tells me somebody on our wall behind us is going to get inducted unanimously.
Yeah, Gritty is my... if Gritty doesn't get it, this is going to be...
It's fixed.
Yeah, it's going to be a rigged vote.
But that's our new mini project. Saturday, we have a live show. We also will be live on our Instagram page, more than likely. So follow us on Instagram, at Underground Sports Philadelphia. I'll be at the Philadelphia Souls Open tryout. So stay tuned for that. That'll be fun. We got some fun little things happening on Saturday with that. And then we have our main show, 12 to 1, as always. And then we will catch you guys live again Wednesday, because we don't have an Eagles pregame show. Sad face.
Womp womp.
And also, we tweeted this out, but shout out to the 22 brave individuals that took the journey to come on Eagles Enemies this year. Unbelievable that we were able to find 22 different people to begin with. But thank you again from week one of the preseason all the way to last week in the divisional round. Each and every guest, you made that series a huge success for us. And don't worry, Eagles Enemies will be back next year as well.
Your contribution will not be forgotten.
It was fun. It was phenomenal.
I'm accepting all bribes for Underground Sports Philadelphia Hall of Fame inductions.
Under the table, baby.
I'll take money, whatever you
Bitcoin.
Got.
Bitcoin.
Yep. Bitcoin especially. Jesus.
Yeah. But I think that's going to do it. So stay tuned for the Twitter poll ballots and everything like that. Get ready for the Draft Board podcast. That'll be coming in a couple weeks as well. And then get ready for Saturday, because it'll be episode 99. The last double-digit episode before we hit the hundos. Looking forward to that. But got to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Main Auto LLC, who I just paid their mortgage today for my car. My heater went.
Ooh.
My heat and everything went. So that was a nice little thing. I'm getting my mirror fixed.
Bad time.
Finally getting that fixed. And
bad time of year to have a heater.
Yeah.
Go.
Last 3 days I've been driving to work in frigid temperatures. And
oh, yeah. Yesterday was, it was, I woke up for work. It was 8 degrees outside. That, let me tell you, as you can imagine, not a great way to start your day. And I forgot to preheat my truck.
Oof.
So I was It's terrible. Terrible start to my day.
It has not been fun, you know, having to pull over to the side of the road because you don't have a defroster and having to re-scrape your car.
Yeah, wow. That's
while traffic's coming, and that's always fun. So head over to Main Auto LLC and tell them we sent you. Hoffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, which will be back there this month, more than likely next week. We'll be doing a show live from Ducharme's, so stay tuned for that. Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. This has been Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 98. We'll catch you guys live on Saturday, and we'll have another Outside the Box up for you on Friday, like we always do. So make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, following us on Spotify. Leave those 5-star reviews. They go a long way. We're trying to climb to that top 200 chart on the iTunes podcast in the sports and recreation department. So make sure you leave those 5-star reviews. They do go a long way in helping us. Leave them on the Facebook page as well. And we'll catch you guys on Saturday. Peace.